Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I take it some of you have seen the little cartoon up there. This was a joy to come across last night when I was working on this. It's one of the signs of aging. Many of the body parts don't work the way they once did. Kidneys, now adult knees. That's what I've been experiencing. That's what I've been dealing with and coping with. And it isn't a lot of fun, that's for sure. The body hasn't been working quite right. Now, last week from the epistle lesson, we talked about tools. This week, we start off again in the epistle lesson. Let's go ahead and change the screen. We're going to talk in the epistle lesson this week about the body and the various parts of the body and how the body needs all of its parts. Young or old, it can be very frustrating to have body parts that no longer work the way they're supposed to. Life can be a real challenge when you have a poorly functioning back or heart, thyroid or bladder, poorly functioning knees or hips or teeth, eyes, ears, or lungs, or maybe some combination of all of these at the same time. Well, that's also true of the church. The lesson from Corinthians today refers to the Christian church as the body of Christ. The body of Christ is made up of many different parts, that is, many individual members, each having their own unique gifts, abilities, and functions within the body. Again, like we mentioned last week, each of us here can contribute to the common good of this place in some way, and also to those whom we seek to serve from this place in some way. God has called each of us here to be part of His body in this place. But there are dangers for getting involved in that. And among those dangers is that we can become so inward focused, so focused on our part of the body, that we fail to take into account that Jesus, the light of life from God, is for all people everywhere. When I had devotions with the ladies on Tuesday morning, I read the following story. A group of animals decided to improve themselves by starting a school. These classes included swimming, running, climbing, and flying. The duck, an excellent swimmer, was not so good in other areas, so he majored in climbing and running. As a result, his swimming suffered. The rabbit, the swiftest runner, was forced to spend so much time in other classes that he soon lost much of his famous speed. The squirrel, who had gotten an A on the first test in climbing, dropped to a C because his teachers spent hours trying to teach him to swim. And lastly, the eagle soon found he could no longer soar to the highest treetops because he had spent so much time learning to run. The point of this illustration, according to the devotional, is if God made you a teacher, be a teacher. If He's given you the gift of mercy, serve cheerfully and don't expect others to do what you do. Accept your spiritual gifts. Stop comparing. Enjoy being you. I really like that. And there are two lines that from that devotional that I want to point out. The one on the right is, don't expect others to do what you do. That one's hard to keep in mind. And then the other is, stop comparing. Stop comparing. Now, I know both those things sound like law. But in light of the gospel, of God's Holy Spirit, those things are actually freedom for us. if we take those two into account, then we no longer feel the need to have to make everyone else jump on our bandwagon. We no longer bear any of the burden for what God does with the spiritual gifts of the other parts of his body, the church. Further, we're free from comparing what we do to what others do. We no longer need envy the other perhaps better known parts of the body. Now, very often when I'm putting a sermon together, when I'm getting a sermon ready, the law is found in the Old Testament lesson. But today, the law is found in the gospel lesson. Because we see in it the way the people reacted to Jesus and his inclusion of the Gentiles as part of the body. The danger for us is when we too, like those in the synagogue, when we also think that we control the grace, that we control the mercy of God. I'm going to circle back around to that in a bit. But for now, let me say that when we get so focused on being blessed, we can forget that we have been given God's grace in order to be a blessing. In order to be a blessing. We've been given the light of life in order to share his good news, heard in the proclamation that Jesus read from the scroll of Isaiah in the gospel lesson. Those words that Jesus read are the first recorded words of his public ministry after being baptized. And Jesus, you know, like Reverend Guile pointed out, Jesus goes home to his hometown, to Nazareth, to begin that ministry. And in the reading from Isaiah he did in the synagogue, Jesus declares that its prophecy is fulfilled in himself. These words from the scroll, those words form the outline for all that Jesus will do in the coming years of his public ministry. Listen to those words again. In fact, read them with me, please. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight. In these words are the DNA, if you will, of all the words and all the actions that Jesus will do, including his death and his resurrection. That's because from his death on the cross and resurrection from the grave, because that's where our release from the oppression of sin comes from. And also where our access to the favor of God comes from. So the DNA of Jesus' work, of his body on earth, is found in these words from Isaiah. Now, since we've talked about the metaphor of the body of Christ, look at all the references to the body in the gospel and in the Old Testament lesson today. Look in your scriptures. Look in your bulletins and take a look there. As he speaks, using his mouth, the eyes of all are on Jesus as he reads the scroll. And then in the Old Testament lesson, look at that. All the people there, what? What did they do? They listened attentively to the reading from the book of the law. And in that reading, we're told that the people responded with joyful praise and shouts of amen. They spoke, they used their words. Meaning they were eager to put their hands and feet into service for God. Now, we also are given eyes and ears in our bodies to listen and receive God's word. And we too have hands and feet to do His will, just as they were eager to do. At the feast, the potluck, if you will, these guys were Lutherans, weren't they? At the feast that followed the reading of God's law in the Old Testament, those who were unprepared were taken care of by those who had prepared. Is that fair? Well, no. But it is merciful and right. And that's important for us in this day and age to remember. Now, back in the gospel lesson, the people who heard Jesus got upset and angry with him when his words, after reading the scroll, revealed that his ministry and ultimately salvation were going to be for more than just themselves. It was going to also be for those who were unprepared and living in the darkness of their sin. That meant that it was for the Gentiles as well as the Jews. And this angered those who heard Jesus' words. Oh, they'd originally been pleased with Jesus' words from Isaiah, but that's when they thought they, more or less, kind of controlled him. What did they say in the gospel lesson about who this person was that we're reading? Who was it? This is Joseph's son. Yeah, so they thought they kind of controlled him. The people got upset when he started speaking about those times in the Old Testament where God showed his mercy to those not of the house of Israel, very specifically. They wanted to keep Jesus and the mercy of God to themselves. They didn't want God showing his mercy to anyone else. They resented Jesus for proclaiming that it was to be for all the world. Remember, Jesus came to do his Father's will. And that was defined by the reading from the scroll where he was to preach the good news to the poor and set the prisoners free. In this way, Jesus' place as Messiah was to be revealed to the world which sat in the darkness of sin. Now, there's a lesson for us in the people's reaction to Jesus wanting to take that good news beyond the confines of his hometown and his heritage. We need to be cautious that when we're talking about being part of the body of Christ, that we don't become like those sitting in the synagogue there that day did, seeing themselves as the whole thing, as the only ones that God's grace is intended for. In Sunday school this morning, we talked a little about that idea, that it isn't up to us to see only to see what it is that how difficult it is for those of other religions to come to Christianity. But that's what we have. We need to go to them with Christianity because it is the good news. And not think that it is like those in the synagogue. We don't think it's just for ourselves. We need to be cautious about being the body of Christ and thinking that we're the whole thing as the only ones that God's grace is intended for. Remember the devotional. Don't expect others to do what you do and stop comparing. Rather, we need to be like the people in the Old Testament lesson, seeking to take care of those unprepared for the darkness and captivity of sin in our world. Go ahead and change that slide. Thank you. Christ has made us a part of his body so that we too can proclaim his release and his light, his hope and wholeness, and his healing to all who, like ourselves, had been unprepared. Like the Jews of the Old Testament lesson, we are to be receiving with our ears the word of the Lord with gladness, and then with our mouths sharing its good news with all. That is what Jesus came to proclaim. And that is what he has revealed to us, his body, in these days of Epiphany. We too, then, may share the light of life with others who, like ourselves, are in need of the healing that comes from being part of the body of Christ. In the name of Jesus, the head of our body, the light of our life, and our Redeemer. Amen. May the words of our mouth and meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen.